Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Super Rugby AU Round 1 preview. Yes, Super Rugby is back. Isn't it exciting, folks? And sure, it won't be the Blues and the Hurricanes, but it will be other teams from across the ditch involved. And joining me to go through all of this, the games and the action, is Cornflake Steve. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. It's good to be back. It's been a fair old while, isn't it, since we've been here in this situation. But hey, we're back. Rugby's coming back. Yeah, let's be happy, eh?
Absolutely. Be happy and have a beer. Absolutely. So there we go. Cracking
be
that
healthy.
One.
Drink water.
With your water that is actually a gin and tonic or a straight vodka. But hey, water, it makes it look like it's that, right? Yes, rugby's back. So folks, just to let you know, what's the New Zealand Sports Radio coverage going to look like for Super Rugby? Well, every Thursday evening at 8 p.m, we will be bringing you this preview show where we'll talk about the games that are coming up the next weekend. At Sunday at 8 p.m, we'll do our review show where we'll look back at the games. On Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m, we will also have the Driving Mall show covering all the hot topics in rugby, but not the specific games, because we'll deal with those in the previews and the review show. And also, we will have some post-match reactions after some of the games straight away. Probably not this weekend, folks, but we will do going forwards. So look out for all of that. Good to see two reviews from Cornflake today, apparently. So, Cornflake, you've been busy on your channel.
Just the one. Just one review of two matches, I hope.
Really?
Review or preview? Oh, geez. You know what? We get stuff done here on my channel. It was late. It was different. But yeah, we got stuff done. It was good. It was fun. That's all that matters.
Good to see. So two games this weekend then. Reds versus the Waratahs and the Western Force versus the Brumbies. Yes, the Force are back. And boy, oh boy, aren't their Force. We will be running through that first. But let's kick off first with the Reds versus the Waratahs. Oh, folks. I've went through the squads 3 weeks ago now on the Driving Mall show. And this week, we went through and we looked at the first, the match day 23s and the number of age and caps of those sides. So if you want to have a preview of the actual tournament, go back and watch those two Driving Mall shows tonight. We're just going to preview the games. So Reds versus Waratahs. Cornflake. And I guess a new thing this season is that they're announcing all the squads nice and early. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's good for us, isn't it? Because the earlier we can do our shows, the better it is. So it's awesome to be able to see them, get a bit of a look at how they're going to line up, rather than, especially when we get into the introduction of the Sunday games and stuff like that later on the weekend. So good to get them out. Good to see what's going to happen. The only downside to that is how many changes we're going to have in the build-up to kickoffs. You know, we quite often get those late changes on a Friday team naming on a Saturday matchup. So hopefully that doesn't happen too much. But, you know, professional sport and all that sort of jazz. But, yeah, it's good to see the teams nice and early. And it's good to be able to dissect them a bit more too, isn't it? And you see these new players, new names, especially in AU so far already, just from what we're seeing this weekend. It's refreshing again to see this Australia, good chance to bash it out against each other. And we're seeing that straight away. New names, debutants in this matchup off the bench. So it's good to see Australia. They've got to branch out. And like I've been saying for about 2 years now, get that fresh blood in 13. Michael Hooper, see you later.
Bye. Missing you already. So let's run through that Reds lineup then. So Jock Campbell at 15, Jordan Pataia in on the wing in a 14 jersey, Hunter Pasami in 13, Hamish Stewart at 12, and Dungunu on the other wing. James O'Connor, unsurprisingly, at 10 with Tate McDermott providing the ball to him. A front row of Dane Zander, Alex Naffy, and Fotikia. And I've got to butcher the name already. It hasn't taken us very long, has it? Blythe and Uru in the engine room with Scott Young, McWright and Wilson as the three Lucys. Off the bench, Istana, Hooper, Tupu, Smith, Tuilaa, Sarovi, Hegarty and Dre Acey in there. So only about half the team at butchered with pronunciations. I'm sorry about that, folks. I am trying, but my dyslexia means all those letters move around. So when it's sounds I'm not used to making, yes, fun and games. So I put Pataia out in the wing. Bit of a surprise.
Is it, though? I don't find that a bit of a surprise. I mean, you look at the talent that that backline has and the way that they kind of play with that backline as well. I didn't think I'd ever say this, but I kind of like the fact that they've got the O'Connor-Stewart 10-12 thing happening because it kind of fits the way that the Reds play. O'Connor's a guy that's going to go out there. He's going to be found out in the wing. He's going to run. He's going to run sideways. He's going to Damian McKenzie sometimes. He's going to take guys on. He's going to be caught in rucks. He's going to be covering at the back. He gets around the field. He plays the game. He's not afraid to get out and about and to make things happen. He's that sort of player. Obviously, you know, in his early days, he wasn't a 10, was he? He was in the midfield, a fullback. He was kind of a Pataia of 10 years ago. So he's the guy that's going to get out there and make things happen. That allows Hamish Stewart to play his game where he can adapt. He can cover first receiver. He can get out and about and cover that 10 jersey. And it gives him kind of, I guess, Pataia can shift in as well. So it kind of allows everyone to kind of rotate around that whole back line. And they know how to fill the roles that they're required to do. So you're not going to see static, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14 rugby from the rear. So you're going to see things mixed up. You're going to see things changed. Pataia's a danger. He's a danger on the wing. You've seen him for the Wallabies and the fleeting chances he's had. He's a dangerous player. He can break tackles. He's fast and he's explosive. So his combination, like we've seen last season with Paisami, will be key. But yeah, you can expect to see O'Connor. He'll be flying around all over the show. Just pick out a 10. He'll be there.
Yeah, look, with Vunivalu obviously suspended for this game after getting in an altercation with a bouncer at a nightclub. I'm not sure that we'll see. We might see Hamish Stewart move to 15 in that two playmaker role that way, rather than 11, rather than 10-12. It might be 10-15 later on in the season. We'll see how they try and fit all their players in. But exciting players, very young side, but with a bunch of Super Rugby experience now. These guys have been around for a couple of years. We keep saying it's a young side by the Reds, but I'm not sure how much longer we can keep saying that as an excuse for them not delivering. I think this is the season where Brad Thorne's going to start. Has got a side here that is down now as one of the main competitors for this tournament. And I think I think it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that favourites tag going into a bunch of games, I think.
Would you call them disappointing? It's like last season, getting to that final, playing, you know, getting right to the end. I mean, they're not underachieving by any stretch of the imagination. I think this team is certainly definitely improving. And I think the fact that you look at that team, and especially the pack, and the fact that you've left guys like Hooper and Tupo and those experienced guys to make an impact later, obviously that's not going to last all season long, but yeah, they're still developing. They're like, hey, yeah, we're on the up. We've got these young guys who are international players and that level. But hey, the next wave's still got to come through. They're not getting complacent with what they've developed so far. They're advancing themselves quite well. And that's, I think they're certainly right up there. And for me, you know, I didn't get my chance to have a say on the preview of the season. So anyway, I think the Reds once again are going to be right up there this season. They're going to be my favourites, certainly.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, I think I've got the Brumbies still as favourites, but they're definitely title contenders. And I think we shouldn't be saying, oh, it's a young side. Oh, but no. These guys are title contenders. Age doesn't matter. Yeah, they're now starting to be there. So up against the Waratahs with some names we recognise, but quite a few several that we're getting missing. So Maddox at fullback with Newsom and Ram are the two wingers. Parisi and Walton are your centres with Jake Gordon and Will Harrison as the 9-10 axis. On the front row, Bell, Horton and Johnson Holmes. Caird and Wetton in the engine room with Harris, Tizano and Jack Dempsey as the Lucies. Off the bench, Porek, Faulkner, Tatola, Williams, Sinclair, Grant, Edmid and Nakawazi. I'm going to spell that last one badly. But I guess the big difference for me with this Waratahs side is that bench. In the fact that in previous years, you look at the bench and you recognise names. This year, they don't have the same names on the bench. It is definitely a less experienced side than we're used to seeing from the Waratahs, isn't it?
Yeah, massively. I mean, you spoke about the bench being less experienced. I mean, that starting pack is less experienced as well. That back row has gone missing, isn't it? The Michael Hoopers especially. That's a massive, massive blow not have him in there. So this is, I think, a turning point for the Waratahs in terms of the future of that team. When you look through these players, there's some young guys, Angus Bell, Harry Johnson-Holmes. I think the guys are going to be around for a long time. The props are certainly in good stead, I think, for Australian rugby. But, yeah, there's a lot of issues, I think, in that pack, a lot to be discovered. Are these guys up to the task? Are they not? We will find out. We're going to find out this weekend as well. But what is interesting the most, how is Will Harrison not a Wallaby? It just blows my mind. How? He is. Loiseau was good last season. Okay, he was deservedly so. But man, Will Harrison, he dragged around a bunch of old screaming grandpas with their Zimmer frames that really were just there to cash in a check. And he made them a half decent team. He was really that linchpin of that side. How he didn't wear the gold of Australia, I don't even know. But I'm expecting another big season from him. He's got to continue to grow. He's got to drag Joey Walton with him. He's got to drag Parise. He's got to drag Newsom. And God, someone's got to drag Jack Maddox. Such a good player at the Rebels. You know, a real spark, a young guy. You know, you talk about the young guys growing up and becoming, you know, superstars or even stars at this level. Maddox has just fallen off the plane. And it's a real shame because he was an exciting talent. Waratahs got him. They thought they were getting a real good star, real sparky player in their back line. And he's kind of, yeah, he's been a bit flat, and I think someone needs to drag him up massively. But this team, even more so now without probably that star power, if you call that, that back row they used to have in that second row, the veterans, now massively heavily relies on Will Harrison to just settle this team down, play smart rugby, keep the structures, don't let anyone do anything outside of what they're there to do. So if you play it right, give everyone their jobs, you know, get to a set piece, play your set plays, and just do everything everyone knows on the training paddock. Try and make it like a training game as much as possible for them so they don't get overwhelmed. And just, yeah, he's the key, and he's got to get things right. And it's big pressure on a young man, especially in that halves combination too, with the captain of Jake Gordon, who's, you know, not a horrifically experienced guy himself. Those two have to lead from the front.
Absolutely. People like Hooper, Kirtley Beale, these guys who were the leaders of this team have gone. So it is going to fall on that 9-10 combination massively. So, as you said there, yeah, the Waratahs pack needs to step up front up against this Reds pack, because otherwise it's going to be a very, very long night for them. I've gone for the Reds by 7. As we've both said, they are one of the top teams, if not the top team in the competition, or favourites, amongst favourites. What is your prediction for this one?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a decent matchup. You've got to remember this is first game of the season. Reds will definitely take a bit of heart that they are, you know, at home. It's going to certainly help them as well. And getting, you know, out there, people seeing rugby again will be good. So that'll be definitely, you know, a plus for them. The Waratahs, yeah, inexperienced. We'll see what these guys are made of. But I've got the Reds to do this one by 8 points. I think it could be a bit more, but I think we're going to see a big impact off the bench. You're going to see tiring youngsters, inexperienced players coming up against, you know, the ever-present Taliana Tupou, who he is just a joy to watch as well. So expect big things off the bench from him. Better experience, bit of spark, guys like Sarovi, and you've got that calm head of a Bryce Hegarty who's going to come on. And if something needs done, you know, he's a guy who can chip over 3 points and he kind of just calm things down a little bit. More experience, like we see, a key word for this matchup. But yeah, Reds by 8 for me. Should be entertaining, though. And we'll get to see that next tier of Australian rugby, especially from New South Wales.
And it's going to be, yeah, what you say, it's one that I'm not sure if they've got crowds or not for this one. It's a changing situation in Australia all the time. But if the home crowd is there, then I think it could blow out even more. If it's an empty stadium, that will, as you say, make it more like a training run. That'll help the Waratahs keep things in check. But Reds all day for me on that one. We then head over to the other side of the country for the Western Force versus the Brumbies. It's the Western Force. It's kind of been a bit like supermarkets rush, hasn't it? Where you just run around and just said, okay, yes, I'll have you with all these players. So if this is not the same Western Force team as you recognise as last year, there's a good reason why. Someone's been on a bit of a spending spree with a very, very, very small part of his several billion dollars. So let's get into that Western Force side then. Rob Kearney, British and Irish Lion, Irish international at fullback, possibly the most experienced player in the whole of the competition. Byron Ralston and Marcel Brockie on the wings. Kieran Drani and Goodwin in the centres there. Good old Brumbies combination against the Brumbies. Ian Pryor and Jono Lance are the 9-10 combination. Looking at the front row then, Robertson, Kaitu'u and Medrano across the front there. Yes, that is very much an Argentinian name you've just heard. Jeremy Thrush and Fergus Lee Warner in the engine room. Lozana, Kotika and Stander are the Lucys. Coming off the bench then, Reddy, Wagner and Holmes for the front row. McCauley, Anstey, Thomas Cabelli, another Argentinian, Jake McIntyre and Richard Kahui. Look, an awful lot of big names there, but quite a few names, as we've said before, with players like Jeremy Thrush, Richard Kahui. Definitely at the latter, and even, I guess, Davita Kurandrani, getting towards the latter years of their careers. But, not lacking experience, I guess you could say, for this team.
Gee, where do you start? Where do you start on this team? First things first, how good is it to see some Pumas in there? The Jaguares players, you know, they're good enough for this level. I mean, they've proven that internationally they're good enough at that level to stick it up with the All Blacks and the Wallabies. Not South Africa, because no one plays them anymore, it seems. So it's good enough for them to play there. Super Rugby certainly, that this is going to be great to see guys like Medrano, Lozana, Cabelli, who we've already seen in the Brumbies before. It's almost a reunion, isn't it, with the old team. So awesome. Those guys are going to make a huge difference as well. Having a big guy like Medrano to shore up that front row, awesome. Lozana, big ball carrier, a disruptor. He is just, you know, the typical Argentinian back row. He's going to be passionate, as they always are, and it's just something that team missed. But what I think is going to be the biggest key for the side, as you mentioned at the start, Rob Kearney, he is a calm, cooling, experienced head. And I think that he's a rugby, clever rugby player. He's got the Ben Smith brain. He knows the game. He can read the game. And that, I think, is what the Force have been missing. A guy of this experience that can be in the right place at the right time. He's not a little, you know, flea in a room, looking for something to play onto. He's a clever player who's going to give them that stability at the back, which I think is something they really, really missed last season without that sort of player there. So I think he's going to be massively key for them. But Kieran Drani, last season, what did he go? Oh, yeah, I'll sign for the Western Force. Yeah, and what did Rugby Australia go? Oh, game one of next year or game one for the Force next season? Brumbies. Oh, yes, exactly. Godwin, Kieran Drani, Kirbelli, the list goes on. What a perfect start for them. So that's going to be interesting. Are we going to see much, of a grudge match there? We'll be keen to see. But what I think for Kieran Drani, this is the move itself is huge because he was a man I think that was really lacking motivation in the last couple of seasons. He's just not been the good player that he has been over the years. So whatever the case has been for him, now he's at the Western Force. He's really got to be that guy in the back line that stands up and drives his team forward. He's got to be that key midfield option for them, and he's got to get that game back. Because if he can't demand a starting spot in the Western Force team, as internationally brilliant as they are, his career certainly is on the downward spiral, like you say. So this is a huge season for him to rediscover that love, that spark, that ability, that passion for the game. And I think the Force is probably one of the best places for him to do it. So, yeah, huge season for a lot of these guys. Bernard Stander, massive, huge player last season. So good players, good names, high hopes.
Yeah, I guess, so the main problem here is, as you said, look, as I've said, there's lots of new names in this side. Kearney, Kieran Drani, Lezana, Medrano. These guys have not played with each other or with anyone else in this team. For me, I think it's going to take a few rounds for the Force to gel. And that's going to be my main thing is yes, lots of experience, lots of good players, but how they're going to have to play a very simple game plan initially. While they all get to know each other, know how each other plays, so that to me is going to be the issue with this side. As we've said, they've got all the experience in the world up against them. Then the Brumbies, Tom Banks, Muirhead, and Hansen make the back three. Ikitua and Simone in the centres there. Nick White, Noah Lolasio, Wallaby. In the 9 and 10 jerseys. Across the front row, James Slipper, Falu Fayenga, and Alatoa. In the engine room, Neville and Swain, with Valentini, Brown, and Samu in the back three. Off the bench, McInturney, Lloyd Ross. Front row, Frost, Tom Kuzak, Longeren, Pastura, and Finis Lili Iwasea are the. Are your replacements off the bench, or the finishers, as Eddie Jones likes to call them, there for the Brumbies. A very, very solid 15. Some question marks perhaps in the engine room there with Swain and Neville. I think there's going to be some question marks across the Super Rugby AU about the engine room because the locks seem to be in very high demand internationally at the moment. But look, experience right throughout that starting 15. Perhaps not quite so off the bench as much as perhaps we've seen in the past from the Brumbies. But that first 15 have played together a lot. They know how each other plays. There's a lot of Wallabies in there. They've got to come into this tournament as favourites, I believe anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they have to based on last season. And then the fact, like you say, this team is pretty much the core of what it was. The squad as a whole has all those familiar names. You speak about that second row and that back row, but Rob Valentini, Jerome Brown played a lot of rugby off the bench last season. So they've definitely, they've been in that side. They've been in the atmosphere. So they're not strangers to this team or not strangers to the way they play. Unlike, like you say, with the Force straight into the team. So it's kind of, that's why they're the top tier of Australian rugby, because they have that continued evolution of players coming through. They've been getting these guys ready for this sort of situation and for this level. I think Nick Frost is a guy that's probably going to see a lot of rugby as a young up-and-comer in that second row position. That's quite problematic for teams. Mm-hmm. So he'll be key for them over the season. I think they'll work him into the starting lineup as time goes on. Injury dependent, obviously, whether he will last the whole season, but he'll be a guy definitely that will become, I think, one of their front runners in that second row, and probably maybe for Australian rugby as well in the future. But yeah, we talk about the Waratahs with good old buddy Will Harrison. But yeah, Noah Lolasio, much the same situation for him. Probably not the easy ride that he would have had last season with that pack. It's not as strong, but yeah, we can still expect the same things for that front row. We could probably expect the same sort of things from the way that they're going to play. And we can expect that they're going to play 80 minutes of rugby, which I think is the one thing that they've got an advantage over the Western Force, is that we know that the Brumbies are going to be there or thereabouts, and they're probably going to pick their game up as it wears on. The hour mark plus is when they're probably the most dangerous in finishing games. They're very good at that against Australian oppositions. They showed that in the past, and I expect there'll be more of that this season as well. The Pack's going to see the ball. I do feel sorry for the likes, you know, Simone, Hansen, Muirhead, Banks. Maybe, you know, if the Force kick a lot, there'll be their chances to really run and have some fun and play, but it's probably going to be defensive work. Grind the game down. The Brumbies, that's the sort of style that they play, and you expect to see Flau Fuanga up there in those try-scoring charts at the end of the season yet again. He will rival even the best outside backs. He is the man, number two. Yeah, it's odd to see them up there, but that's the Brumbies. They're going to play that same. You can't go away from that, can you? It's the way they play. They just mould this team in that sort of style. So I expect to see more of that, and it should be quite exciting to see as well how they combat, hopefully, what will be an exciting Western Force style of play, because last season probably their downfall in a lot of situations as well is that they tried to be a little bit too expansive and things. They got the guys, they're going to keep doing that, you know, so you're going to see a lot of ball outs, the likes of Ralston, which is going to mean your defensive duties for the Hansons and the newer heads, the Banks at the back. So that'll be an interesting conflict of styles. Hopefully we get to see that, and hopefully it is, you know, exciting. And the Western Force at home, something they didn't do last season, much like the Rebels. So it's going to be great to, you know, like we've seen in the comments there, 50% crowd. So crowd or no crowd, it's home. And it's something they didn't experience last season. So I think that is going to be a big, big factor for them just to be in that stadium with their home, you know, venue. That's a massive enough thing for them. Passion. And, you know, we know what those Perth boys are like when, you know, they get that, the fans, you know, really pump it in there. They're a bit of a breed of their own out that sort of way, aren't they? They just love getting behind their team.
Absolutely, yeah. The wall of blue or the sea of blue, whatever it's got, the sea of blue, they'll be totally behind them. Admittedly, only half this Western Force side will actually recognise their home ground, but the rest of them will get used to it. At the end of the day, yeah, you've mentioned it here, is yeah, that this is the 10-man rugby, perhaps a tad harsh for the Brumbies. They can turn it on at times, but they're going to play a controlled game against a team that doesn't have that lacks that connectivity. Expect the Western Force to look good going forwards, but also expect them to leave some serious gaps defensively, as they don't know whether the player inside or out them is going to go or is going to stay, and that's going to create gaps for the Brumbies to take advantage of. This game line analytics. I've gone blank as to the ex Wallabies prop who runs that thing, but he talks a lot about that teams with low connectivity, which is clearly this Western Force, will score points or can score points, but they'll leak points more importantly, and that's where it takes time for that connectivity to work, which is where I think Western Force defensively will improve over the week. So don't look at this this result and go, oh well, the Western Force are going to leak points all year. They won't, but they might do initially. So hence, I've gone Brumbies only by 5, actually, because I think, which is perhaps a bit low, but I think the Force will actually score quite a few points as well.
I was just thinking as you were talking about that, I was like, man, Paul's going to go big here. He's going to go in the 20s. He's going to go for a big margin. And then he just lets me down with a 5. I think we're going to see a chance for the Force. What needs to happen, and we saw it last season, it's more of the same. Get out, fire up, get some points on the board early, lead at the half, and just try and just work your way out to the very bitter end. That's what it's going to be about. It's going to be fun for a start. It's going to be a grind at the end. Poor players on the bench. That's going to be the big chance for the Western Forces, as if they can play that sort of style. I've gone the same margin as you. I've gone by 5 because I want this to be exciting. I think it's a potential to be an exciting close matchup, so I would like that to happen. The Brumbies can often not really, you know, they're not going to hit their straps and just be like bang, 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 try scoring frenzy. They work their way, and it takes them often time to score their tries. Early season jitters, maybe, you know, it's a game of luck. Things could mess up for them. They only have to lose a couple of chances. The Force are going to be a team that will run chances and they'll go from anywhere they can. If there's a sniff or an opportunity, they'll go for it. So, it's potential to be exciting, potential to be close, but it's going to need a big start for the Western Force. Get out early and try to withhold the Brumbies off at the end. And I'm hoping for an exciting one and a five-pointer at the end and a good start to the competition and, you know, get people all involved and all happy. Yes, that was exciting. That was fun. It's Australian rugby. It's normally rubbish, but hey, that was cool weekend. And look forward to the next one. So, yeah, that's the dream. We all live the dream, eh?
We all live the dream, absolutely. And look, it's great to have Super Rugby back this weekend. Both games on Friday night. So, folks, it gets a bit late. Obviously, by the for the second game, finishing after midnight. So, but looking forward to it. Can't wait. Obviously, Super Rugby Aotearoa will be joining us next weekend. So we'll have four games to preview next week. Thank you so much, Steve, for your contributions this evening. Go, folks, do go check out the Cornflake YouTube channel. That's what I'm looking for. Don't forget, you can follow New Zealand Sports Radio on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. And we're also out there as a podcast as well, so you can listen to recordings. Also, you can head over to patreon.com/NZ Sport Radio and become a supporter of New Zealand Sports Radio as well. Thank you, Stephen. And let's watch some good rugby this weekend.
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.